Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence, live from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. I just want to say, if you don't live in Houston, I feel sorry for you because this is the most exciting time of the year because the Astros right down the street on Thursday night will be going against the Chicago White Sox, and that's, I guess, from someplace up towards Illinois where our guest is from tonight, and we won't have too much of a discussion about that. But that's just awesome that they're in the playoffs and looking forward to what the Astros can pull off this year. And we just have an awesome, beautiful day. The sun's already down here, and we just had a gorgeous, about 85 to 87 degrees day with no rain in sight for the next week. So it's going to be a perfect week to be in Houston, Texas. But it's a perfect evening for you to be with us tonight. And I just want to let you know that we have some awesome guests coming up the rest of this month. We have a great guest tonight that's going to be talking about something very important. As the holidays start becoming closer to, you know, I think I heard today on the radio heading to church, there were like 89 days to the end of the year, believe it or not. So we're within 84, 85 days of Christmas. Take another 30 days from that. We're about 50 some days from Thanksgiving. Halloween towards the end of this year or end of this month. So we're just getting up for that time of what could be stressful for people. We're going to talk about that this evening and how to cope. Next week on the radio show, we're going to have the complete staff. Well, I don't know if it's a complete staff or not, but several of the staff members from New Beginnings. It's a church here in Houston that I'm going to be speaking at Sunday morning, October 17th. And they're doing a complete domestic abuse conference during their church service on Sunday morning. And I try not to get too religious on this program because I know there's a lot of medical professionals and social workers. But I tell you what, when a church makes a decision to take a stand and talk, teach, train, and bring people in to educate the church family, I think that's exactly what every church ought to be doing right now. To look at, instead of just putting our heads in the sand and hoping it goes away, or just sitting at home in a nice prayer closet and praying for it to go away, to actually put feet on the prayers. And we're going to have those guests on next Sunday night. And I'm going to kind of pick their brains. Why this topic? What's their goals? What kind of situations is the church handling right? Is the church handling wrong? And we're going to talk about that next week. So make sure you're here. And that's going to be a great program. I believe in the next few weeks, things are starting to pick up, even though our COVID numbers are kind of high still here in Houston and in around the country. They are dropping a little bit. We didn't get the bump from Labor Day. We'll find out from our guests in Illinois if they got the Labor Day bump there. But we're down to about 2,000 new cases a day here in Houston, which is extremely lower than what it has been. It was around 4,000, and we're wanting to get it around 200. But as that's starting to lower down, I'm getting ready to pick up my schedule. I'll be in California, Connecticut, Michigan. Let's see, I believe at Galveston, all kinds of different places. And that's just in the next couple of weeks, besides this church here in Houston talking about, and then still doing all my virtual trainings too, that's coming up, about two or three of those a week. So a lot of things are picking up. I want to kind of just open up tonight. First of all, if you want to get involved in the conversation, if you see something, it looks like we already have people logging into the Facebook page, Shattered by the Darkness, Facebook. My son moved from Houston area, and him and his wife and my granddaughter went to Seattle, Washington, and that's where they've got transferred in the Army. So they're 2,000 some miles away. But I believe Curtis is manning the Facebook page tonight all the way from Seattle now. If you have any comments, feel free to get on there, or you can just call in directly to us at 888-627-6008. And the most awesome people in the radio business at BBS Radio will pick up and be so nice to you and tap you right into the program. Before we get started, I'd kind of like to just pull out a pencil and a piece of paper. And I just want to give you a couple things that I really hope that you are able to say to yourself, either now or in the next few weeks. And if you say, wait, I can't say that about myself, write them down to see if it's something that you can eventually say about yourself. And the first thing I want to do is say, I make my time count. You know, time is priceless, but it's free. You don't own it. You just get to use it. If you don't use it, you lose it. You don't get to keep it and can it up. And I really think, especially with our guest tonight, that there's times that we waste our energy and our time on things that won't make a difference in the long run in your life. And I think when we're talking about any type of addiction, any type of tendency to be manipulated by even other people or other drugs or alcohol, I think it's important that each day that we live makes an impact. And when you wake up in the morning, how are you going to make that day count? Not just for other people. Kind of be selfish sometimes. How are you going to make it count for you? And I honestly believe that, you know, we live with this thing now, do we not? This little mask that we put on. And I think, you know, I don't know about you, but to wear this every day, it starts making you sweat, you break out, and you just don't want to go into restaurants and places. I'm getting kind of tired of this, and I don't know about you. But another thing I want you to write down is try to become the best version of you that you can be. I really believe that as tiring as this thing is to me, that mask, having my emotional mask of who I really am to the world can be so draining, so absolutely fatiguing. And I think it'd be so awesome that instead of us pretending to be somebody we're not, pretending to have the world by the tail and we don't, pretending to have things of, you know, hey, I'm perfect, everything's great in my life, and not admitting to exactly what's happening into our lives. I really want you to work on that. And I know I need to work on this. Anytime I do a little short list like this, write down, these are things that I deal with myself. I've wasted so many of my years pretending to be somebody I wasn't. And when I finally came around to say, hey, wait, I'm not fooling anybody, and I'm not even fooling myself anymore, that's when real hope, real healing, real emotional impact can make your way back into your mind, into your mental health, and into your emotional stability. With that same thought, I hope you can say this about yourself this week, that you're honest with yourself, that you're really looking into the mirror, and you're saying, this is who I am. And I believe our guest tonight, Kelly, will tell you that, at least for my own, when I came out of letting people know that I was being abused, nothing happened or started in my healing process until I finally said it out loud. I am a child sexual abuse survivor. I've been abused as a kid. I've been abused all my life up to my 17th birthday. And at that point, when I finally got honest with myself, that's when help entered into my life. Also, that you have forgiven people that have hurt you. Some of the things that we deal with in life, some of the things that hold us back, is because we haven't yet given up or tried or even attempted to forgive those people that's hurt you. And I think our guest tonight is going to be able to talk about that a little bit more. That could be a big hurdle in treatment until you realize that, hey, wait, forgiving them, not necessarily to help them, but to forgive them to help you, is a huge impact. And then to take full accountability of your life. Are you doing that? Are you taking everything that you're accountable for and say, hey, wait, I'm going to own this? Even though those are things that aren't so great, even though it's mistakes, errors, bad decisions, bad moves, bad turns, bad relationships, whatever it is, to take accountability for your life. Now is the time. And if you can't say those few things about your life, now is the time to stand up and say, hey, wait, enough's enough. I'm going to be a man or a woman, and I'm going to stand up and take accountable for my life from this day forward. Those are just a few things that came into my mind while I was sitting in my recliner this afternoon and saying, well, I kind of want to start off with a little bit of wisdom this evening. And let me tell you, it's not great wisdom, but at least it's wisdom that I need to hear. If you can apply it to your life, then God bless you and hope you do. Tonight, we're going to have a great guest, and I think a dear friend of mine, at least I call her my friend, Kelly Reed. She is the director and probably all kinds of other titles, clinical administrator. Let's just face it. She runs the place. Recover Us Centers in Carbondale, Illinois. I had a great time to be able to go up there and look at those places over and get to meet some of the patients and hear about the therapy they've been on before. Kelly's on tonight to talk about her program and a little bit of something that's coming up with the holidays that they're making the emphasis on. So all the way from the Chicago White Sox area, but really, let's be honest, they're St. Louis Cardinal fans. I know them better than that because it's Southern Illinois. From Carbondale, Illinois, Kelly Reed. Welcome to the program, Kelly.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, dear?
Great. I love the things that you talked about in the beginning, and you touched on so many things that can be so impactful for people to hear. I don't think people hear that often enough, so I really appreciated how you opened this evening.
Well, appreciate that. I like to throw out a little bit of wisdom every now and then, and I had about five more, but I thought, no, I want to get to you, make sure we have plenty of time. But tell me what, for people that have not had the ability or missed, or we've been on for 2 years now, maybe new listeners tonight, because I know we have new listeners this evening. Matter of fact, I talked to somebody up in Minnesota on the way home from church that is trying out for America's Got Talent that's going to be on our show in a few weeks. And I think he's listening tonight, Gerald. But for those folks that haven't had the opportunity to meet you, tell us about Recover Us and what you do, and why do you get up every morning saying, hey, this is what I want to try to accomplish?
At Recover Us, we work with folks that suffer from addiction, drug and alcohol addiction, compulsory addiction, PTSD, anxiety, and depression. We do so through our medical treatment as well as behavioral health at the same time. And we treat differently than most facilities. We treat through something, it's IV therapy, and it's called NAD. It are the compounds that are used, among others. But our clinicians take a look at the effects of drugs, alcohol, trauma, and what that does to the brain and the brain receptors. How those events and those addictions deprive the body and the brain receptors of the nutrients needed to be able to function properly. So it's a very different approach. It's medically approved. And the bottom line is folks get amazing results. And getting to watch people transform themselves and be open and honest, like what you talked about, being able to come into a facility and leave the judgment behind. Let us take care of them. They're able to bring a family member in, which is extremely helpful. To have the love and support of a loved one while they're going through treatment, rather than shutting them off from those supportive people in their lives, is very different than the way most rehab facilities work.
Yeah, approximately how many folks do you have going at one time in the program that's actually going through the NAD or all the other different types of therapy that you have there?
Well, we do an aftercare program. So once people leave the clinic, if they're local, we've treated people from all over the country. But for the people that are local, they can come in and do their counseling. If they're from out of state, they can still do that through Zoom and all the wonderful things that COVID has allowed us to do now via telemedicine. But we generally have 5 to 8 people at one time. So there's a lot of individualized care with the people that are here continuously throughout the day.
And the age group that this runs from is typically from what age to what age? I know they're probably the oldest, there is no age limit, but for how young does the program start at?
We treat adolescents. So we can work with those that are suffering from addiction that are under 18, but the general is 24, 25 to 70s, in their 70s.
Okay, so if a parent is listening to the program tonight, Kelly, and they're dealing with, and you know, they're at their wit's end, and let's just throw out a state, let's say they're from the Carolinas, right, on the other side of the country, and they're saying, hey, wait, this sounds like something that I may be interested in. How would it work for somebody from North Carolina to be able to connect? Do they come to your location? How do they get treated? And what if they're just coming home from having their son or daughter go through the ER and they're at the maximum of this addiction? Is there any kind of, do they need to be somewhat control before they get in contact with you?
No, not necessarily. All addictions are different. So there are some instances where our doctors will say they need to be at a lesser dose. But the majority of the time, we will do a pre-assessment with them. We do a detailed chemical history exam with them, because the treatments are tailor-made for the individuals. So not everyone gets the exact same type of treatment, because there are different receptors in the brain that are affected by different addiction. So alcohol affects a specific receptor, cocaine affects a specific receptor, extreme trauma also affects the brain receptors. So each of those addictions have their own specific requirements, protocols, and what our doctors do with those individuals.
So if they are at the end of their rope and have no light at the end of the tunnel for hope, they could call right now and find out, hey, what's a good step for me?
Yes.
And what would be that? Take me inside of what that call would be like if I just say, hey, Kelly, my daughter is just out of control. We found all of this stuff. She's addicted. Help me. What can you do? How would that go, Kelly?
Well, a loved one can tell us about what the person in their life is experiencing. A lot of times we'll do a conference call with the individual that's suffering and also their loved ones and their family members, because families in so many instances don't know how to navigate through those initial or steps in between. They're overwhelmed by the fact that someone they love could be addicted, and they stay in that state for so long. Sometimes opportunities are missed to open those conversations and do so without judgment and open their ears and their hearts to what that person that's suffering can tell them. Because most anyone that's addicted will tell you, this is not a life that I would have chosen for myself. You don't have to shame them. They do enough of that on a daily basis on their own. So opening your heart, opening your mind to have conversations that you can talk openly to be able to get to the stage where they can ask for help and call. We can verify their insurance. We can talk to them about specifics of what their treatments would be and what their days would look like here at the clinic. I think so many times people are very apprehensive prior to coming in. That part can look like the scariest obstacle they've ever had to tackle. But once they're here, they get very comfortable and they say, had I known that I could do this and it would be this way, I would have done it years before or months before. So, you know, not being afraid to reach out and ask for help and just see what that looks like for that individual is so, so important. It can make a difference in life or death.
And I attest to when you walk into the place, it's not what normal places like of this nature. It's a different breed. It's a family. It's a friendly. It's smiling. It's caring. It's heartfelt. And you can feel that probably with people on the phone when you actually call them. But I know when you walk into the place, it's a complete different environment than what most people would ever expect. And it's a welcoming environment, non-judgmental. And you don't get that very many places. And that's awesome that you provide that.
And I appreciate you saying that. And that was one of my goals whenever we started this facility, because not judging that person and involving them as an active participant in their care, rather than just saying, you're going to do this, this, and this at 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock. You know, most people don't adapt well in those situations. And there have to be guidelines, of course, but opening yourself up to learning what got that person to where they are. And our counselors do a wonderful job of that. But we have so many people that come in with their family members and they say, you know, I can feel that everyone truly cares about us. And it helps them to put their guard down and really understand what their life can look like and what their options are without the drugs, alcohol, or addiction in their life. And that's key.
Oh, it's paramount. And fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're going to take our first break. I got Wendy the first segment. I'm sorry about that. We're going to take our first break. On the other side of this, I want to find out possibly you mentioned insurance, you mentioned receptors, and I want to find out a little bit more about what causes those receptors to not connect anymore, what this NAD can do to connect those. And then I want to talk about these emphasis that you're having on the month of October as we go into and kind of slide into the holidays and why that's important to be on our guard, because this is really, really important time. We'll talk about that right on the other side. 888-627-6008. Call in and just say howdy. If you have a question for Kelly, call on in, and we'll be right back after this first break for the next segment of Breaking the Silence. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. and it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. All right, welcome back. Kelly, first of all, and I've said this more than once to you, I want to thank you personally that literally Recover Us saved, at least from my opinion, one of my best friend's lives. James, I know he's listening. I'm sure he is. I hope James and his whole family and Matt is too. Knowing and seeing the success that he had with your program is just icing on the cake that you're just not blowing wind up everybody's skirt here. You have people that have successfully made it through the program, and now they're going back into to be kind of what, ambassadors type thing, where they can say, hey, tell us about it, or maybe to help other people through. How do you do that with people that have successfully completed the program?
Well, we have so many of those people. Some people want to not have their story told, but we're very lucky that many people like James and like so many others are open and willing to share their stories, because I don't think other families learn as much as they do from listening to someone that's been there, actually been there, done that, and still continuing to grow and thrive. And their families have benefited from their experiences. The communities benefit. It's a wonderful thing to see. But I'm so encouraged by all of our patients that are willing to say, you know, I'm more than happy to talk to someone else. We kind of have it. It's not a joke, but we have specific rooms in the clinic where people can have their privacy on days that maybe they don't feel well. But so many times people will say, who's sitting in my chair? Who's in that room right now? And what's their story? And, you know, they're curious to hear about the folks that are coming through the program now, and who's sitting in the spot where they have had so much success and their life changed by sitting in that chair and stepping up and being accountable in their lives and saying, I need help. What can be done to help me? And it all starts with that.
Yeah. You know, MD Anderson is right here, and it'd be impossible, I'm sure, for you to come up with a figure, but just as it would be if I call MD Anderson and say, hey, what's your success rate? Because they'd be like, wait, there's too many different variables. But if you had to, because I believe your program is much more successful than others, what is the ballpark success rate, and why do you feel that your program is more successful than others?
From everything that we know and that we have been able to put together, it's about 84%.
That's unbelievable. That is great.
Addressing what addiction, trauma, stress, extreme anxiety does to the brain and the brain receptors, and identifying that. And rather than just saying, okay, you have to be clean for 30 days, or you have to just be clean for 45 days or a year, being clean is one thing, but really healing your brain and the receptors in your brain that cause and create those cravings and those behaviors that, until I was in this industry, I had no idea that sleeplessness, anxious, poor decisions, cognitive skills were all seriously affected by addiction. So when loved ones and family members become so frustrated with someone who has an addiction and say, why can't you just stop? There's many reasons why they just can't stop. And the medical community is recognizing that more and more now, more so than ever.
Okay, let's go ahead and turn this corner, because I think this is, to me, very interesting with what we've experienced in the last year and a half with COVID, pandemic, all the you know, I'm doing these seminars now around the country called The Perfect Storm, which I call, this is exactly what our world is in right now, racism and politics and domestic violence and, you know, all of this stuff, plus pandemic and the police riots and all of this stuff together is just a perfect storm of people falling apart because of the anxiety. What has it done to the addiction, to the people that, have you seen an upturn in the last year, 18 months?
Absolutely, without a doubt. People are struggling. We've treated many nurses, people in the healthcare community that say, you know, this is so taxing on us to be in these crisis situations on an ongoing basis. People who had mild anxiety before this, it's dialed up their anxiety to levels where they don't know how to work through that. Alcoholism, we have seen probably an increase more than anything else. One of our pharmaceutical reps was telling me the other day, we do something at the end of our program where we do an injection that is a blocker for cravings. And he was telling me in Pennsylvania that, and I believe, don't quote me on Pennsylvania, but I want to say that that's the state, and several other states they're starting to control the amount of liquor that liquor stores can purchase from a distributor because the increase was so dramatic. So a liquor store can maybe carry 2 bottles of wine a day from a distributor rather than 2 cases, what they would do before, because they're not able to slow the progression of the alcoholism. And, you know, these are scary statistics. And that's just one of many.
You know, I think one of the things that immediately perked up something in my mind was when you mentioned the nurses and the doctors are getting stressed out. I'm seeing and hearing, being at Baylor and Texas Children's Hospital, that doctors are now sitting back and going, wait, this isn't what I signed up for.
Exactly.
Thank you. I'm retiring. I'm going to another side of this. I had a couple, 2 or 3 of those this week that I've heard about. It's like, wow, some of the best ones that we've ever heard of, but they're saying, wait, because it is giving them a different mindset because of the impact of what COVID is. It's not a war zone down here, but it seems like it on certain times, with everything maxed out and patients down the hallway, conference rooms being used as hospital rooms. That's taxing after 2 months, 6 months, 8 months, a year, year and a half. And are you seeing an uptick in professionals coming to you or contacting you and going, hey, wait, do you have anything that can help me?
Yes, definitely.
And what would the answer to that be?
Yes, we do have a wide variety of treatments that can benefit. And you know, I think the other thing that's very important to look at in this conversation is the stigma that's associated with addiction. It's not a back alley junkie. Everyone knows someone that suffers. And reducing that stigma of it's okay to say, I have an addiction problem. It's, you know, that's taking the steps in the right direction to be able to get help. That isn't labeling you as a horrible person because you've had some situations in your life that you need help with. It's no different than any other disease that it can be treated medically and through behavioral health. So it's not something to be ashamed of. But
you know, I think we're in a society right now that everybody that was running on this level is now kind of like a car engine where you're not at a stoplight and just idling anymore. We are constantly have the pedal to where the anxiety is up here all the time. And when you come home, there's no way to decompress. There's no way to let all of that out. And I'm sure some of them are going, hey, I'll just drink a little more wine tonight, a little more beer, or I'll do this, things that they know is not good. And before long, they've got a problem. They've got an issue.
Yeah. And, you know, many times people will say, I don't think I have a problem, but I have a problem when I try to stop. So that equates to, yes, that's a problem. And what is that doing to their body? What is that doing to their brain? What's that doing to their family life, their overall health? So that is a problem. And I think deep down inside, most people know that. But, you know, they don't see it maybe as a horrible addiction. But when they try to stop, they say, I'm not able to do so, and I need help.
When you mentioned a while ago about these brain receptors, now we've talked several times and at your location with all the other folks too. Is this the brain receptor? Is that the same word as what I use as neurons?
Yes.
Okay. So when I went through my childhood trauma, my neurons literally started just getting cut off. And even on like a CAT scan or MRI, it would be what ought to go like this is only several, you know, few of them working anymore. This NAD, that allows the progression of my brain to reconnect some of those, or does it just keep more from being disconnected? Does it help promote growth? Or just keep from disconnecting?
I think one of the best explanations that I heard was if someone were to take their left hand and make a fist, take the right hand. If your left hand is a receptor, take your right hand and cover that. And that is what the addiction does to the brain receptors. So it blocks nutrients from being able to adhere and populate and cover the brain receptors to function properly. So when someone does NAD, IV infusion, it bypasses the gut, goes directly to the brain, and slowly pushes that off of the receptors. Our medical team can give a much more detailed description of that. But for those people that are suffering and don't understand why they act the way that they do or why they can't sleep or what causes the extreme cravings from an opioid in their life, when you try to pull that off of the receptor, the brain says, not so fast. I'm much more comfortable when that's right on the receptor. That's the beginning of the withdrawal. So when that is slowly pushed off of the receptor and infused with the nutrients needed to basically, this isn't a medical term that our medical team would use, but basically fertilize and regenerate those brain receptors with the NAD and the other compounds that are made for the specific individual, it changes the way withdrawals and how someone thinks and feels and is able to function.
Yeah, that's great. To me, it seems like it's kind of like a car battery that starts corroding and it's not getting the power that it used to have. And it sounds like this NAD kind of goes in and creates a way to scrape some of that off to where that true power can come back and it get back into the original condition it was in.
Another individual that they say that they've explained to us to be able to explain to our patients is if you have a sponge that is no longer being wet or moist, it becomes dry and brittle and doesn't always accept water the way that it should if you put it under the faucet. And that can equal what happens with the brain receptor when someone is suffering from a specific addiction. So they call it bathing the brain with the NAD. And I mean, seeing the results, even seeing the appearance of how folks look when they come in and when they leave with alcohol or really any addiction. It's a visible difference in how they think, how they feel, what their cravings are. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, this is fascinating, Kelly, and I appreciate all this wisdom. We're going to take our last break. If you want to get involved, 888-627-6008. You can get right on our Facebook page. I'm looking at people now that has commented. Feel free to join in on the conversation there, but feel free to call in. We're going to come back on the other side of this break, Kelly. I really want to talk about what emphasis you have on the month of October and why it's important to go ahead and start preparing ourselves of what the holidays can do to us. And I want to find out why. Why is that such a stressful time for people? So we'll talk about that right on the other side of this last commercial break. We'll be right back with the final segment.
HCI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Like I'm getting some comments here on our text, which is awesome. Keep texting me if you want to at 832-396-6525. Appreciate your comments, and I don't see any questions yet. But Kelly, before I chase a rabbit out from underneath the bush and end up talking too long and we have to cut you off, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to find out more about Recover Us? Emails, web pages, contact numbers. What's the information that you want people to know right now so we can get that out for them to have?
They can call our clinic at 618-519-9444. We have a website, www.recoveruscenters.com. Another thing that we've done, we have a lot of videos posted on YouTube. I know the one James was kind enough to do some interviews with us and be very open about his experience, what led him to the clinic, what his experiences were, and just different aspects of what his recovery has looked like through the year, because he's doing extremely well. And we keep in touch with so many of our clients, and them sharing their successes whenever they leave is just a blessing. It's a blessing in my life. And I could do this 24 hours a day, talk to people who need help because they need to learn and have knowledge and help in navigating what they can do for themselves, or if a loved one calls, how they can help their loved one.
Yeah, fantastic. 618-519-9444 or www.recoveruscenters.com. And I would imagine that if somebody wants to talk to one of the people that successfully made it through the program, you could call them and say, hey, I want to connect with James or one of the other successful people, man or woman, that made it through. And you can refer those numbers to those people if they want to give them a call back to discuss, hey, what was it really like? Is she telling everything open in front like it ought to be? And what was this like? And then maybe they can get firsthand knowledge from one of the success rates, success people, the graduates.
Right.
Fantastic. Oh, as we go into the latter part of the year, what does that do to you as a professional in this business? Does this kind of get you go, uh-oh, here we go. It's getting ready to ramp up. What is the impact of what these last few months of the year do to people and their tendency for addiction?
Well, this time of the year, I think what we're seeing with high addiction numbers just dramatically increases during the holiday season. People start to get stressed out. They start to get worried, anxious, being around their families. Families that have been torn apart by addiction, where the person that's addicted can't really communicate with the folks that don't understand their addiction or don't understand why they just can't stop. And even if they've gone to a recovery facility in the past and it hasn't worked for them, you know, that a family member may say, you don't really want it, or it would have worked before. And that's not always true. To me, that's a sign of, yes, somebody's searching for the right answers and the right type of care or treatment, and maybe they've just not found that yet. So it's not a sign that they don't want recovery. It's maybe the proper type of treatment has not been given to them to be able to get to the point where they can be clean and sober. So holidays are stressful times with families. I think even if there is an addiction, is not any addiction. You know, people can get stressed out about different type of situations. And for those that maybe are hiding it and their families don't know, or their families do know and it's caused problems within the family unit, it creates a lot of stress for them.
So this emphasis that you have for the month of October, tell me about it. What are you doing? What is it, Sober October?
Uh-huh.
What's that all about?
Well, Sober October, we're doing several videos. We've done some interviews with parents, spouses, and individuals that have stepped up and said, yes, I have a problem. Yes, I need to do something about it. And we're walking through their journey with them, because I can say so many things about the success that we've seen, but I don't think it's as impactful as James telling his story, because there's so many things that James said on the program with you, as close as we were with him while he was here, that I learned about when he was talking to you on your program. Opening the dialogue, opening the conversations for people to say, I would like October to be the start of my sobriety. I would like to take the steps forward, have Sober October, to call, ask for help, inquire, see what that could look like for someone.
So it being the first step to healing. The first step of making a move, instead of just sitting and going, I'll get to it someday. Someday I'll get around to that. You want this to be the push. Hey, make it happen now.
Yes.
If that was somebody that's listening, what do you recommend? I don't know what you're going to say, but I'm going to let you say it. What do you recommend the first step to be when they make that decision?
Talk to their loved ones. Reach out. Call someone. Let someone know that you're struggling. Inquire what that could look like for you. What treatment are available to you? And if you're struggling, let someone know that you need help. Taking that first step, I'm sure you know this, taking that first step to ask for help can sometimes be the most scary time for people. But once you open that door, it's a little easier to walk through it when you arm yourself with knowledge and find out what the options are for treatment.
And if we don't take the mask off, I think we're fooling ourselves to think it's going to get better. Because I think only at that time, you have to peel it away, because that's when real help can enter in.
I have so many people that I talked to a year ago, and they will call. You have the people that just want to continue to touch base, and or 6 months to kind of make that decision. And I will say, they'll say, well, do you remember me? And they'll talk about their situation, and they'll say, since that time, maybe I got a DUI, or maybe I was let go for not showing up for work, or my family member had just said, this is it. This is the last time I can go through this with you if you're not going to help yourself. So when you continue down that path, there aren't a lot of good things that can happen for someone. That continues to kind of be a long road for them. And it's not like, okay, now I can start living. Now I can start enjoying my life. Because addiction can rob people of the good things that life can give them.
And, you know, it seems like, even without telling James's story, but it seems like it takes, sadly, an event of an attempted suicide or a DUI or hurting somebody or doing something absolutely. And why does it have to get to that point if we can really just sit down and go, hey, wait, this Sober October is a time for you to just sit back and go, where am I really? Instead of waiting for the brick wall to be in front of me and me run smack dab into it emotionally or mentally or physically, why can't I slow down and get help now before it gets to that point? How many people do you really think can process, I need that help now before it gets to that stage?
I know that, especially James said one time, he said, I told my family I would agree to call, and it was 11:15 at night. And he said, I thought I was safe to say I would call. I didn't think anyone would answer. And, you know, that's when we had our first conversation. So there are more people than you and I could probably ever imagine that are in that position, and they know where their life is going, and they just need someone to say, you know, making a call asking for help or finding out what your options are or making that decision does not have to be a horrible experience. It can be the best experience of your life to turn that corner and know that, yes, it is possible. It's possible to get your life back.
Yeah, we got about a minute left, Kelly. I want to let you say the last, if somebody's listening, you have the floor for the last 30, 45 seconds. What would you like to tell them if they're debating on, not right now, I'll do it later. What would you say?
There's a new statistic, and a lot of people are with the internet, they're able to order opioids, different things on the internet. 3 out of 5 opioids ordered online or through social media are laced with fentanyl. The United States is doing a new program called One Pill Can Kill. You can think one more time and then I'll get help. And I don't like to operate off of scare tactics, but those are the facts. And that's the reality of where we are with synthetic opioids. So take the time now. Make the call, call someone, call us, find out what your options are for treatment, and know that it's possible that you can turn your life around.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Kelly, for being with us. Recover Us Centers in Carbondale, Illinois, and 618-519-9444. Reach out to them. And Kelly, I appreciate you being with us tonight, and you're welcome on the program at any time.
Thank you so much.
You take care.
You too.
Like we like to do every program, no matter where you're at, and I'm being serious as a heart attack, no matter what situation you're in this very moment, now's the time. When's it going to be better? Now is the time to reach for hope. And I honestly believe that hope can be in making that call. If you need somebody that knows somebody that needs to hear this information, all you have to do is get on the phone, call them and say, hey, why don't you listen to that program tonight on BBS Radio or Shattered by the Dark? Listen, see what you think. If you want to go out and find more, go into our archives and you can see Kelly and Seth and James talking about it about a year or so ago. You can get it right on the archives and listen to it more. But most importantly, don't put it on hold. Don't wait another moment because there's always hope as long as you still have breath. So make sure now is the time to reach and get help. Thank you for joining us tonight. Be with us next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas. God bless you and have a great week. And thanks, Kelly, for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.